Hi there, everyone. It's James sitting with Vanna, and it's Your Move podcast for It's Your Move podcast. And we're going to be doing the third point on the Be the Church sermon. So we've kind of spread this out over a couple of podcasts.
In the Together series,
which Vanna has extended by 20 sermons already. Just kidding. I know when you said that the next series is going to be 8, maybe more. I didn't even want to guess how many more we're looking at here. but amen, amen. So we are looking at Be the Church. We already spoke about being a family builder and that this is all of our responsibility. Being icon makers, that was point number 2, and we looked at that in the last podcast. Today we're going to be talking about multipliers. And Vanna, just I know multipliers, being a church that multiplies, it's a word that I think we're familiar with. I think we signed up to be part of something that multiplies. I think God is into multiplying. But do you want to maybe just give a few sentence description of what you think a multiplying family group, a multiplying church looks like?
My guess is that we, most of us, if not all, knows what it should look like. And I would maybe again break it down to let's not look at the church as a whole, but let's look at family groups and individuals within the family group and what that would look like. And that would obviously be if when I was saying, okay, well, we're family builders and icon makers, how do we duplicate that in other people? How do we help them? How do we make disciples? And I know through the years, we don't like that word make. We want to find disciples. We want to be at the spa in the queue and invite the guy next to me. And, oh, she just would love to come to church. And he comes to church. And we start doing Bible study together. And 2 weeks or 2 months later, they baptize. And it was easy going. We just did the Bible studies. And, oh, wow, it just happened. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. As even Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So it's hard work. But a multiplying family group would be a family group. I think for us as family groups, every family group should always be having someone that they are reaching out to. And if this is our desire, and that we should, as a family group, have a prayer list of people that we are reaching out to. And if I use the word term reaching out to, because it might be that I'm first trying to befriend someone and having them over for dinner and building some rapport with them. But we cannot, it doesn't make sense for us to be a family group and there's no effort from our side to be reaching out to people and to be multiplying, to be allowing God to use us to multiply the efforts that He Himself has done in us. There's something, it's like having a car that doesn't drive. You don't get a car to stand in the garage, you buy a car to drive it. You buy a TV to watch it. You get a bicycle to cycle on it, not for it to stand there. And for us to not be multiplying, it's having a private party. And then the question is it a party at all? Now, and you might have some of your questions in there, and I know sometimes people hear this and they're discouraged, but we tried and it didn't work and whatever, now we just give up. And we can maybe unpack some of that. What does it look like if that's the case? So we've been meeting now for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, week after week, and we've had like 3 friends out, and none of them became Christians. What do we do now?
Okay, well, we will get there, but maybe a question that I have is, I remember many times studying the Bible with people.
Can you be able to hold that thought?
Yes.
And remember it. Okay.
And we'll come back to it. My thought or your thought?
Your thought.
Yes.
Okay. So I want to, keep going on what a multiplier is, a multiplying family group. Yes. Here's how I envision this thing, and I've often put it on a TV screen, I've in leadership meetings, is that, so we're now, for those of you that don't know, sitting actually in my car outside my house in the shade, doing this recording in Boston, and that's Boston Belleville, not Boston in the US. And so let's say we have a family group we're actually meeting tonight here at my house. The idea would be, can we multiply that? Do we add 2 or 3 more couples, and then we plant another family group in another neighborhood? So we then send one of the couples from our group. So now we have an existing family group in Boston, and that family group can continue. But now we send a family group to Plumstead, okay, highly unlikely if we all live here, so maybe closer to my neighborhood, or even if it is my neighborhood is divided into two parts, a upper and a lower part, if we send another group to the lower part, and now we are multiplying ourselves. Mm. Now there's another group. And that group, so we're not trying to double the Sunday attendance or the amount of people that go to Sunday services. We are trying to multiply these groups all over our city. And that it should be that we are saying that in every neighborhood within and around the greater Cape Town, meaning sort of cutting off at Paul, most probably start there, that there, in Paul we have a family group, a thriving family group, not a multiplying family group. And then in Stellenbosch and Rondebosch and Hart Bay and Simonstown and even Camps Bay, Clifton, that there are these groups that are just, it's another group, another group. It doesn't have to be another full Sunday service. Mm. If God leads us there and the groups become too many, then we can do that as well. But that's not the primary goal. The primary goal is how do we become a family? And in this family, we are icon makers. And then this family spreads.
Mm.
So that's that was my view on multiplying.
No, amen. Well, I had another question, but I will get back to it because my question after that relates to what you just said. So, very inspiring, and I fully buy into that. And I think that idea of we are a family of multiplying family groups, I think is amazing. But we're in a scenario personally where we've got a very big family group, and we had a kind of family group meeting at the beginning of the year, and one of the points that I made was, hey guys, listen, we're a big family group, we need to split. And it was a little bit bittersweet because there's a little bit of a sense of, oh, we're building family here, we're getting closer, our relationships are getting better, our kids are getting to know each other better. Now all of a sudden we're talking about splitting the family, and there's a kind of a sense of that being a bad thing. And I think everyone understands, maybe it's a bit bittersweet, but how do we continue to grow, to be thirsty to split, to desire to almost, there should be knocking on my door from members of the group knowing that it's too big, saying, hey James, when are we going to split? Can't we split and plant a group somewhere else? There is a little bit of a sense of, hey, but we're building family together, we want to be together. How do we break through that?
Unfortunately, many of these answers are going to return to the same point, which is, do we have a passion for it?
Mm.
Okay, so I know there's a church outside of our fellowship where their mission statement on evangelism is, we will do anything short of sin to see a soul saved.
Mm.
We'll do anything short of sin to see a soul saved. So if you hear that, what does it tell you, man? Our passion is burning hot, okay, to desire to see this happen.
Mm.
Now, we love being together as a group, but our desire to enlarge and spread God's glory and His kingdom and His family of images across the city outweighs the comfortability of being together. Because we can still be together. We don't have to, we might not do it every week, but we can have smaller little house, if I say house churches, I don't mean meeting separately from church, but smaller groups that meet on a regular basis to befriend and to include. But if my passion is burning hot, then I'll say, man, we need to keep this thing. And let me just say this as well. Seasons change. Mm. So sometimes there's a season where the group needs to be big, and yes, we all need to mend, and we all need to find ourselves. But I think we and this is maybe, this example won't resonate with some folk, but we are on a mission, okay? And let's take the Navy SEALs. I've read a couple of books over the years on sort of how they do stuff. They don't go into small little agile mission teams of 40 to go and do intricate saving work, if you may, or rescuing work. It's small teams. It's small teams of people that can easily move. It's small teams of people that fight together for the rescue.
Mm.
And there's something nice about the bigger group, but the bigger group we can always have, the bigger group we can always organize.
Mm, mm, mm.
So as far as we can, now one needs to have the leaders to be able to do it. But even if you have the leaders, or even if you have someone that says, I'll step up, I want to be a leader, but I'm not going to be humble, or I'm not close to Jesus, that doesn't help us. If there's a passion for those things that we spoke of before, a passion to be an icon, to be an image of Christ, to be an image maker, to be a family builder, then the natural thing would be we have to spread. So a good heart check would be, is this still a passion for me, or is this a right thing to do? And if it's not a passion, there are a boatload of things that could play into that, which is not all necessarily super evil or sinful behavior. I know that sometimes people have lost the passion. I've gone through that because I've tried so hard for so many years and I've not seen the outcome. And I always say it's a lot harder to be faithful when things go wrong than what it is to be faithful when things go right. So when things go right and the ball is always knocked out of the park and the crowd is cheering, it is easy to just keep go. When things are not going my way and I'm reaching out and I'm meeting people at school and the neighbors and this one and that one and I was becoming a Christian, it is harder without a doubt to keep my passion burning out. But I should have, it goes back, we're not going in circles here, but my desire should be so strong. Again, Jesus' desire was so strong that it was to the point of death, irrespective of the outcome. So eternity that it's in my heart, being a new creation person that wants to bring about new creation in others, needs to be burning so hot that whether it works or not, and I need to obviously learn and adjust course if I'm doing something wrong, meaning that I'm trying a method that is not helpful. It doesn't. I don't think if I go and stand in Tiger Valley in public preach that the crowds are going to sort of form around me to actually hear and say, wow, that sounds wonderful, we would love to learn. Maybe in another season it will be different. I don't think at this season. So it might, I might have that problem. But other than that, I need to just get better at it, learn how to do it, be a learner, and that passion just needs to go. I'm sure I'll use this still many conversations ahead. I always think of Jeremiah, who preached for 40 years and nothing happened. And he was faithful to the cause and he kept on preaching. And it was hard for him, but he kept on being faithful to what God called him to do. And at the end of the day, he was warning these guys, we're going to go into captivity. If you don't repent, if you don't stop the idol worship and all those challenges, God is going to take out the big woody. He's going to spank us all. And all of us are going to be shipped off to Babylon. And he was shipped off in chains to Babylon with the whole group that he has warned. And the Bible doesn't say, and then afterwards God rescued Jeremiah and took him to an oasis, or revealed the hidden Garden of Eden where he then rested at ease. He died in captivity. But God looks at that situation as we read the scriptures and say, that's faith, and he was faithful to what I called him to do.
Amen. So here's a follow-up question. So on the spectrum, I mean, I've seen and heard it all. You've got the you've got kind of the kind of person, and this might be someone studying the Bible that, you know, kind of gets challenged on denying oneself, or it could be someone who's been a disciple for many years. But it's that idea of I'm just gonna let my light shine, and the Lord will send people into my life. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got someone who maybe the light isn't even shining very brightly, but boy, the invitations are getting handed out by the bucket load. So they're sending the message out. The other is just kind of being, and you know, everyone, you know, my light will shine so bright that people just want to be like me. I mean, what's the, you know, it feels like there's problems with both of those extremes. I mean, how should a family group, how would you say a family group should think about kind of being the church, but also, you know, going out and making disciples as a active thing versus a passive thing?
Now, you might have just misspoken in what you said. You said, how does a family group get to be the church, but also missionary?
Yes.
Obviously, we are not being the church if we are not missionary.
Yes.
Okay, so that might just be a miswording.
Yes.
But it's not a either or. It's being the church is we are new creation people. That's who we are.
Mm.
If we are not making the creation new, then we are not new creation people. So if we are not, if God is not working in us and through us, then we aren't what God has called us to be. And this most probably goes back to one another relationships, to reflection, to asking myself, where am I on the spectrum?
Yes.
And why am I there? So on the one side, am I, I'm going to let my light shine and people are just going to come to me. Listen, that's certainly possible. That's sort of not the feel that you get from the New Testament. I'll make you fishers of men. The fish don't jump into the boat. You actually are going to catch them. And then you obviously see people going from house to house. You see people going to the temple courts teaching, and they actively went out to do it. So on that extreme, I need to maybe just, maybe it's a theological issue that I don't understand. Maybe it's a heart issue that I'm just using as a cover up because I'm actually nervous. I don't know. Each man to his own. One will have to reflect and talk it through. The other extreme, obviously, is equally dangerous because being an event, and I've seen this happen a lot of times with people, is they're evangelistic machines, and they view discipleship as equaling fisher of men. Versus that being a fisher of men is just simply being a part of being a disciple. The primary purpose of a disciple is to be an image bearer. And so if I'm reaching out like a madman, but my marriage is falling apart, or I'm not keeping my pride in check, or I'm not really even in the Bible, or my kids are out of control, I obviously need to relook that and say, sure, you know, again, why am I doing this? What is the purpose here? Because I'm supposed to be bearing the image into others and be image makers, icon makers. But what image am I bearing? And not to know people, oh, so I can't share with anyone because I'm imperfect. And we all are obviously imperfect, and we all have our challenges. But it's to be able to pay attention to those challenges and say, let me get help. And share that honestly. I've sat with people in Bible studies and said, listen, here is what the Bible teaches on this issue, and this is where I'm at on the issue. And I can't do pretense or false in terms of I'm going to pretend like I'm doing something. And I think we can have that honesty, but I think we need to somehow circle back to the sweet spot where we don't separate. We are being the church, and then we will hopefully be on the mission as well. What is it? I heard a quote that I'm sure many people have heard. It's not God didn't, we sometimes view it that God gave what is it, gave the church a mission versus that he gave the church for his mission. How does it work? Do you know that quote? Meaning that the church is the mission. The church, the people of God, the assembly of God, is it. It is God's plan to bring about new creation. It's not something that he gave us to do that we could put up as a mission statement if we like. I can't remember the quote now. It will come back to me at some point, or maybe in another podcast, and it might have greater clarity.
Okay, but I mean, you know, let's kind of maybe sum up some of these points in a practical sense, where, you know, let's say family group member is sitting listening to the podcast now, and they feel like, you know what, our group isn't multiplying, and we want it to multiply, and we see why, and our hearts are. It just hasn't been happening for a while now. What can someone do to take the first steps forward? Whether it's a member, whether it's a family group leader, how do you overcome the stickiness of we're not multiplying? Because there is something about when the ball's rolling and everyone's excited. I think you mentioned it earlier. You know, it's a lot easier to be faithful, and it's a lot easier to do these things when things are a little bit sticky. It is harder, absolutely. So what do you do?
I remember the quote. God didn't give a mission for his church. He gave a church for his mission. So the mission is primary, and the church is the vehicle of achieving that mission, versus he had a church and he had to find something for them to do. and therefore he gave them a mission. But back to your question is, here's my hope, and I obviously often miss the mark on this on many levels. My leadership style, way, whatever, has prayerfully changed over the last decade or two. And the greatest influence in it has been obviously lots of people helping me God discipling me on various issues through people and just in life. But then the biggest thing has been my family. And so for the family, I feel like if something is wrong in our family dynamic, in my personal family, Lisa and the girls, that we don't have to throw our toys out of the cart. Can we just have conversation about it? So can we, let's say that I feel like the kids, I always have to ask something 10 times. Then I don't have to beat them. I don't have to manipulate them. I don't have to be, dodge and dive as I'm trying to communicate this because I'm going to hurt their feelings. For me, it is we're sitting around the dinner table and saying, hey guys, one of the things that I'm feeling is I feel like it's very rare for you guys to do something the first time that I ask you. It feels like I need to keep on repeating myself. It feels like I need to keep on begging. And that might even just be my perspective. I wanted to know if we could please talk about it. And now we're opening the conversation to the group. And it's the same with Lisa and myself and our relationship. And it's the same with me individually with the goals. As I don't go and I attack. I say, listen, here is something. Here's my perception. Here's something that I'm feeling. And I want them to do the same. And so, again, we're a family and we're doing this together. So then circling back to your question, my hope would be, let's say we're a group and it's not working out. Let's talk. Let's not blame. Mm. Let's not beat each other up. There's absolutely no reason for that. But let's talk. Let's talk as a group. Let's talk one-on-one. Like what's preventing me? What's preventing you? Our family group, is it even a place? And this is a sideline of one of the other things, is I think we'll be so much stronger if our primary place that we try and bring people out is actually the family group.
Yes.
Because it crosses all distant barriers. Yes. and everything else, and it helps them become part of a more intricate family that just then celebrates and worships together on a Sunday. But we might have to discuss, have discussions and say, is the family group that we have, we met with our family group, Lisa and I, last week, and said, what does this need to look like for you to even want to bring people here? And yet also for it to be helpful in the same place for you, where you also feel like, listen, this is not just for my friends. I'll throw in another little side nugget, because I hope that as I keep on throwing in these side nuggets that will gravitate to us. I don't like the word visitor. Bringing visitors to family group or bringing visitors to church, but prefer the word friend, even if I don't know the person well. I just think it's a little bit more endearing. And I've used the word visitor obviously a million times in my life, but I think it would be great if we can nudge towards friends. But it's having those discussions. How can we bring our friends? What do we need to do to bring our friends? Is what we are doing working? If not, what can we do for it to work, whatever it might be, and how do we do it? But no one's blaming anyone. We are, it's like I said, with my family, we're sitting around the table and we're figuring out, how do we get better at this? We travel badly as a family in the car. We can't do like a 2-hour drive. We need to stop halfway to first take a break. To then say, how do we do this better as a family? And what we realized with that one is we do need to stop every hour and we do need to take that break.
So there's the spider attacking me.
For those of you that can't see, which is everyone, James is trying to get a spider off of him. But he will live to tell the tale, prayerfully.
I hope it's not a bad spider. So listen, last point on that. Sorry,
I
everyone.
Wish you guys could see it. That was special.
I still haven't found it yet, so if I scream, you'll know why. But I think one of the points, if I had to think of times when we've gone through bad patches and what's helped us come out of it, is also just some very simple things like sit around and come up with a list of people that could possibly be maybe interested.
Yes.
In our friendship circle, a new colleague at work, someone who moved in next door, and we put the list together, you know, in a group of 10 people. Very quickly, the list has got 30 names on it, just because, you know, if everyone just has a couple of thoughts, there you have it. And we start to pray for them, and we start talking about what we could possibly invite them out to. And I think those very practical conversations, sometimes it just, yeah, I think we've just needed to overcome the discouragement if we're in a bad spot and just come up with a list, and all of a sudden we're praying, all of a sudden we're inviting, all of a sudden we're taking steps forward, and it's it can make a difference and it can help turn a group around.
But that's a great point. Obviously, didn't really consider the practical side of that, which is a brilliant point. I know what Lisa and I have done historically, again, we've moved in and out of seasons with this. Even if one says, James is still looking for the spider.
Even just keep talking.
Even if one, this is what we've done before. Lisa and I have said, we want to at least have, and again, I must get new terminology for the phrase that I'm about to say, but we want to have a non-Christian couple over to our house every week. And that's the first thing that we put in our schedule, because life is busy. Life is busy with kids, with sport, your own life, or perhaps playing the balls, whatever. We want to have the first appointment, I don't even want to use the word appointment, but the first thing that we want to schedule is someone that we're having over for coffee, for breakfast, for whatever works for your family. But I want to have someone that we want to reach out to. And if you do that, imagine now you're having 40 to 50 things like that, where you're having someone out to with the purpose of, I want to befriend them and help them. I think inevitably at some point, God will open a door. I know we're running out of time, so.
Amen. Well,
and the spider is on the loose, so we have no idea when it's going to come out.
Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that, and obviously these are themes that we will continue to unpack over these podcasts, and hope that they are helpful.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you, or you will hear us, in the next podcast coming up.
Cheers.